You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving. Try again. Happy Thanksgiving. You guys are a little louder than the first service. Well, it's good to be with you all this morning on this Thanksgiving Sunday. And this is a season where we come together to express thanks to God and remember all of the blessings that we have. And gratitude means that we are thankful, that we live our life as if it's a miracle and a gift. And God is inviting us today to not just be grateful on Thanksgiving or in the Thanksgiving season, but every day. Behavioral and psychological research shows how gratitude actually improves our health, increases our resiliency, and lowers stress. And we know that gratitude actually helps strengthen our relationships and allows us to experience more joy. Now, gratitude may not come as natural to some of us as others, but God is inviting us to include this spiritual practice and rhythm of gratitude into our lives. Gratefulness allows us to see what we have rather than focusing on what we don't have. And no matter what we think we have or don't have, we all have been offered the greatest gift of life through Jesus. Colossians 3:16 tells us, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." And as we get started this morning, I just want us to take about 30 seconds just for each one of us individually to stop and think, what is one thing that you're grateful for today? What is one thing that you want to thank God for today? In our Bible text this morning, we're going to be looking at how Jesus, while he was journeying to Jerusalem, was approached by 10 lepers. And they asked him to have pity on them. He responded to the request with healing, but only one, the Samaritan, came back to thank him. So I wanted us to be reflecting today on how important gratitude is in the life of a believer. Why does thankfulness even matter? And I believe that this story is going to give us a glimpse into how we can have grateful hearts and in how we can live each life as if it was a gift. Let's pray together. God, we're so thankful for this morning. We're thankful for this season. We're thankful for Thanksgiving. And God, we pray that as we enter into this text, that you would teach us, that Holy Spirit, you would show us the ways that we can include a grateful heart into our day-to-day lives and the ways that we can show thanks for the small and the big things that we get to experience. I pray, Father, that you would guide our time, that you would guide our teaching, and that you would be glorified in all things. And we say thank you for who you are and for all that you've done in our lives. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text comes to us this morning from Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. And just so you know, there's also a handout included in the bulletin if you wanted to follow along with some of the sermon notes. Verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God, and with a loud voice, fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So this is a story about 10 lepers and how only one decided to come back and thank God. I wanted us to start with learning a little bit about leprosy to just kind of understand what these 10 individuals were going through. Leprosy is a skin disease, and once someone had it, it was considered incurable. And if you had it, you were exiled from community. The Bible tells us in Leviticus 13, verses 45 to 46, a little bit about how you were to treat someone with leprosy. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone, and he must live outside the camp. People with leprosy in these days were labeled, they were isolated, they were removed from community and left to live outside of society. Now, for the Israelites, the people of God, they weren't just afraid of being infected by the disease, but leprosy actually was an indication that you were now ritually unclean. If you touched an unclean person, a leper, you became unclean and defiled. In some ways, for them, leprosy was a sign of rejection or a lack of favor with God. Now, Jewish practices adjusted a bit, and lepers were allowed to come into the synagogue, but they still could not come into contact with people. There are two people in the Bible that have been healed with leprosy. Miriam, if you remember from Numbers 12, had leprosy for 7 days as punishment for speaking against Moses' leadership. And Nahum, a general in 2 Kings 5, when he obeyed Elijah's instructions to wash 7 times in the Jordan River, he was healed from leprosy. But the healing of leprosy is not a common occurrence in Scripture. So let's take that knowledge as we go into this text in Luke. Verse 12, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. So Jesus is outside of the village when this group of lepers meet him. And you have to think about the kind of community this group of lepers formed, because they couldn't come into contact with anybody else. Being outside of the village would be a common place for them because it would be the only place they were allowed to be. Now, maybe they had family and community before the leprosy struck them, or maybe they didn't. We don't know that. But what we do know is that they were kept outside of the village, excluded from community life. Verses 12 to 13. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They're standing at this distance, and immediately they call out to Jesus, and they recognize him by calling him Master. They knew he was a rabbi, a teacher. What's interesting to note is they did not cry out asking for healing. They cried out to Jesus asking for sympathy and for pity, which was a very common thing for someone with leprosy to ask for. They weren't necessarily asking him for anything beyond that. They may not have even been expecting it. And I imagine there must have been a great sense of desperation as they called out to him. Maybe they felt shame or grief, anger, loneliness, rejection. But in verse 14 it says, when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. So you have this group of people that have been outcast. And in this verse, I want us to not miss this. Jesus saw them. He noticed them. I want us to imagine what it would feel like to be in their shoes. They were ignored. They were actually removed from society. And Jesus saw them. He valued their lives by seeing them. And as they asked for pity, he gave them healing. That's how gracious our God is. Jesus, knowing that they're suffering, not only heals them, but now he's asking them to take a step of faith. He's asking them to believe that they have been healed, to go show themselves to their priest, because only the priest could declare them unclean. I think that this is a really important part of the story, because as they obey Jesus' directions, they were made clean. Their faith was tied to their healing. James 2:17 tells us, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So I want us to be thinking about that, in what ways our faith is connected to our healing. Verses 15 and 16 go on and say, "One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Now all 10 were healed, but only one was overcome with gratitude. All of them called out to Jesus, but only one called out to Jesus in thanks." The actual Greek word for thanks here is eucharisteo, and it means to express appreciation and give thanks. And it's also where we get the word Eucharist. It's another name for communion. So this idea of Jesus' sacrifice, salvation, communion is tied to our gratitude. The Samaritan, he was part of a very hated people group, was the only one to return and give thanks. And this is a foreshadowing of how the gospel was not just going to be for the Jews, but for everyone. So going on to verses 17 to 18, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" In this story, the foreigner, the non-Jew, the Samaritan, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't like each other. But in this circumstance, they were united in their suffering. Now, Jesus noticed that it was the Samaritan, a foreigner, that thanked him. He didn't say, "Why did only one come back and thank me?" He said, "Why did only this foreigner come back and thank me?" Why did Jesus notice that? It was very important that he did. So what happened to the other 9? Why did they not return? I've been thinking a lot about this the last couple of weeks as I've been working on the message. You know, was it that they were so excited about their healing that they kind of got caught up in the moment and forgot to thank Jesus? Maybe they were overwhelmed with the fact that finally I'm not going to be an outcast anymore. I'm going to be accepted. Or maybe they were upset for all the years they lost to leprosy. Maybe they asked, "Why was I not healed sooner?" Or, "Why did I even have to have leprosy at all?" I don't know why the 9 didn't come back. But of all of the ones that were healed, the Samaritan was the one who arguably had the most right to be angry and bitter. And yet his heart was the softest towards God and the most thankful. In verse 19, Jesus responded to him and said, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." The word for "made you well" is sozo, and it means the Greek word. It means to preserve or to rescue from natural danger. This is an indication that Jesus actually gave this leper something a little extra. All 10 got healed, but the Samaritan actually received salvation. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." See, gratitude played a really big part in his healing. Now, Jesus didn't love this one more than he loved all 10 of them, but it did show that he got something extra. So I've been reflecting a lot on why is it that this one leper had such an easier time giving thanks. Was it because he had nothing else to cling to? Was it because Jesus really was all that he had? He didn't have maybe something else to take for granted? We don't know. But we do know that the Samaritan had less status, and he came back with the most gratitude. In this text, Jesus is teaching us something very significant, that gratitude isn't just a good idea, but I think this is actually something that God wired into who we are. Now, there's a lot of research that I wanted to talk a little bit about that's been done in this area of gratitude. Dr. Robert Emmons, who is an author and a researcher, has conducted extensive research in the area of gratitude. And he says that gratitude improves our emotional, our physical health, can strengthen our relationships and communities. And you can tell when you're thankful how it just changes how you feel about things. It changes how you see things. Cultivating an attitude of gratitude is tough and not always easy. It's a choice we have to make. But in this research, they said that as a result, people are experiencing improvements in areas of academic, energy level, even dealing with tragedy and crisis when we have a grateful heart. He did some research where he looked at people who kept gratitude journals on a weekly basis. And those that had these weekly gratitude journals, they worked out more often, they reported fewer physical symptoms, they felt better about their lives, and they were more optimistic in general about the life they had. Some of the outcomes he found in his research included well-being, that people had higher levels of positive emotions and life satisfaction, less stress. People were more sociable, felt that their lives were more interconnected. Their spirituality increased and they felt a deeper connection to God. And the last thing that came in the research is that people were less materialistic. Grateful individuals place less importance on material goods and are less likely to judge their own and others' success by possessions accumulated and are more likely to share. And if you look through the book of Acts and you look at the early Christians, the early believers, who were incredibly generous, I think that gratitude had a huge role to play in that. So again, all of this research tells us gratitude is good for us. It's healthy. If we want to be healthy individuals, we should be grateful. But it's more than that. This is God's design and call for us. So what are some of the things that this story in Luke that we can learn about gratitude? The first thing is that gratitude doesn't begin in the intellect. It actually begins in the heart. You know, we can be grateful and we can practice a rhythm of gratitude, but it starts in our heart in relationship. We can tell ourselves, be grateful, but it's actually in our relationship with God. When we experience in Him, we encounter Him, that's when gratitude grows in us. Our hearts are moved and overwhelmed by what God has done, who He is, and how He has loved us. The next thing is that gratitude keeps us connected to Jesus, and it increases our awareness of His presence in our lives. As we tell Jesus thank you, we're looking to Him, we're noticing Him, we're loving Him as He has done for us. Like in this story, as we give thanks, it's like we turn our hearts and our minds towards Jesus. He becomes our focus. The next thing is that gratitude gives us or helps us to have hope and peace. Gratitude doesn't give us the answers, but it does help us to find our hope and peace in Jesus. Even as life is being worked out, thankfulness allows us to hold on to that hope. You know, I think about this Samaritan. I think he needed a lot of hope because as he was healed, what's going to happen with his life? He doesn't know. It might even get more difficult. He may still be ostracized and isolated. But having a grateful heart helps him to hold on to the hope in Jesus. It helps us to hold on to the hope in Jesus. You know, as we celebrated the first week of Advent, the theme is hope. Hope helps us to see beyond today towards tomorrow and the future. And we experience God's hope in small ways and in big ways, but hope is what keeps us going. So gratitude and hope are very tightly connected. The next thing we learn from this story is that gratitude can happen in the midst of pain and loss and can help us to find healing. I think for me, sometimes I have a really hard time experiencing a grateful heart while I'm suffering or struggling because we get caught up in what we're feeling at that moment. And I wanted to tell a story about my good friend Allison, who really taught me about what it was to have a grateful heart. She was an amazing, beautiful individual, and she was a worship leader, loved to worship Jesus. And one of her gifts is that she could pray for healing and for hope into people's lives. And many people that she would pray for would get healed. But Allison was battling cancer for many years. And even though she could pray for people and they would find healing, prayer wasn't working for her. And yet her attitude and her grateful heart towards God continued even to the end of her life. I was with her when she died. And it still has stuck with me, her grateful heart that she had as she passed into glory. She didn't have all the answers. She was sad that her life was ending, and yet she was still grateful to God. And I always think of her when I hear the lines from Matt Redman's song, Blessed Be Your Name, where it says, Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. My friend Allison has taught me the gift of gratitude. Gratitude may not change our circumstances, it may not heal our ailments, but it makes us more aware of God's presence and love for us. Gratitude helps us to open up to God, even when we are suffering and in pain. The next thing is that gratitude helps us to focus on what we have, not what we don't have. I if any of you know me, you know that I talk a lot about my grandmother. I love my grandmother. She played a very key role in my life. I was born on her birthday. I was named after her. She taught me the love of baseball. She taught me to love the greatest baseball team ever, the San Francisco Giants. Come on. three wins here. My grandma and I, you know, as a kid, we used to watch baseball games or listen on the radio. And there are a lot of things that I absolutely loved about my grandmother, but she died when I was young. And for a long time, I was bitter and I was angry that she was taken from me at such a young age. And as I grew older, God began to change my heart. And instead of being bitter and angry because I didn't have her anymore, God was showing me how to be grateful that I had her at all. It was better that I had her for a short amount of time than no time. And so I think what gratitude does is it helps us to focus on what we have or what we have had rather than what we don't have. And we all may experience this in different ways. Maybe we're without family or money or resources or education or home or a job or community. Maybe we don't have direction. Maybe we're lacking encouragement or hope. These are realities that we all may experience. But there's good news for us. We've all been given this day, this life, salvation. We have been given hope. We have been given value. We've been given the gift of each being called a child of God. So gratitude helps us to focus on what is good and what is right. There's a great story in 2 Kings that talks about this widow who was left to care for her sons, and she was so worried because she didn't have any resources. All she was seeing is what she lacked and what she didn't have. And the prophet Elisha was teaching her to focus on what she did have, to be grateful for the things that were there. And it's a great story of where God multiplies those resources, and that little word of encouragement from the prophet, that little word saying, God has been good, there are resources, changed the whole way this widow saw her circumstances. The next thing is that gratitude helps us to be generous with others. It helps us to think of others and put them first. It helps us to get outside of our own minds, our own circumstances. I think about the prayer of St. Francis and even the life of St. Francis and how he lived. He was so grateful for God's care for him and God's moving in his life. In his prayer, he writes, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. See, Francis was thinking, I just can't keep this gift of God to myself. I've got to share this with others. Gratitude makes us generous individuals. We want to pass it on. So let's be thinking about the ways that we can extend that gratitude to others. The last thing is that gratitude helps us to create community. If you think about in the story of the Samaritan, when he came back and he thanked Jesus, there was this connection that they had. There was this community. Gratitude creates a community where things are shared, where things are integrated. So gratitude as a rhythm is something that we have to intentionally look at and do. And so I've come up with a list of some things that we can start practicing this gratefulness. We can identify and thank God for his many attributes. We can journal at the beginning, at the end of the day. We can do the prayer of examine. If you haven't heard of it, you can Google it. It's a spiritual practice where we reflect on how God has been present in our lives. We can study the word or idea of thankfulness in the Bible. We can take a simple daily gratitude prayer walk. We can write thank you letters. Thank you letters are such a wonderful thing to do. You know, ask God to show you one person who has made a difference in your life and write them a letter. Tell them how God has used them. Or make a thankful tree. This year at my Thanksgiving, we did this. In the middle of our table, we had a tree and everybody wrote on a leaf what they were thankful for and they hung it on the tree. And the tree's still inside. It's a little fake tree. It's inside our house, but I'm reminded of all the things that we shared of what we're grateful for. So where do we go from here? What are some things that we can do to put this into practice? The first thing is that we could think of one thing or person event that we're grateful for today and ask yourself, why are you grateful? The next thing that we can do is we can ask God to help us to have gratitude when we feel like we're without or when we're suffering. I wanted to tell a quick story of Betsy and Corey Ten Boom, who were sisters. They were Christians who spent time in a concentration camp north of Berlin because they hid Jews during the Nazi occupation of Holland. And while they, I'm going to read a little quick quote, they're having a conversation about the frustration over their circumstances. And here they are living in this concentration camp that is dirty and smelly and moldy. And there's fleas and it's just a really uncomfortable place to be. And so as they were there, Corey cries out to her sister, "I was bit. Fleas. The place is swarming with fleas. Here and another one. Betsy, how can we live in such a place?" And so Betsy began to pray, "Show us, Lord, show us." It was said so matter of fact that, this is Corey speaking, it took me a second to realize that my sister was praying. And then all of a sudden, Betsy said to me, "Corey, he has given us the answer before we even asked, as he always does. I read his answer to us this morning in the Bible. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, 'Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus.'" That is it. We are to give thanks in all circumstances. And the story goes on to say where Corey is telling her sister, "Well, I can thank God for all things, but I'm not thanking him for the fleas." And so her sister says to her, "Well, aren't you thankful to God that we're here together in the concentration camp and not separated?" And Corey says, "Yes, yes, I am grateful." And then Betsy says, "Well, aren't you grateful that you have your Bible? You get to keep your Bible inside of the camp." And Corey says, "Yes, yes, I'm thankful." "And aren't you thankful that because we're so crowded and we're so cramped in this space, more people get to hear us talk about God's love?" And Corey's like, "Yes, yes, I'm grateful." "And do you know, because of the fleas, the guards won't come in here and they won't stop us from preaching about God's love?" And Corey's like, "Yes, yes, I'm grateful." Sometimes in our suffering, God shows us that gratitude is very important and can help us. Lamentations 3:22 says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him." So as we reflect on this passage this morning, we think about the 10 that were healed. We celebrate their healing, but we learn from the one about the importance of gratitude. This one who came back potentially experienced greater healing, greater wholeness, restoration, and salvation because he was grateful. And Jesus was moved and touched by this thankfulness. Gratitude changes our perspective, but it also blesses the Lord's heart. And isn't that how we want to live? With a heart that is full of gratitude? So I want to challenge us to follow the example of the Samaritan, to look at the ways that God has noticed us, the ways that he sees us, the ways that he loves us, and the ways that he saved us. And as we give thanks, let's together cultivate a community of gratitude. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we are so thankful. There's so much to be thankful for. If we even started, Lord, it would just be hard to stop because there is so much to say about your goodness and your faithfulness. God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you see us. Thank you that we are created in your image. Thank you, God, that we can have a relationship with you because of what you, Jesus, did on the cross for us. Thank you that we have life. Thank you that we have relationships and stories, even in this room, Lord. Thank you, God, that you've given our lives purpose. God, we pray that as we look to this story, we would be encouraged and we would be challenged to live in such a way, Lord, that our lives are lived with gratitude to you for your goodness. We thank you. And we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.